Chuck Bonino and Julie Hayden, and we're privileged to have with us the Republican candidate in the 7th Congressional District, Joe Kurz Jr. Joe, welcome to the program.
Julie and Chuck, it's an honor to be with you this morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
I understand that you've been designated a young gun by the National Republican Congressional Committee.
Not bad for a 70-year-old to be a young gun.
But that means funds and everything else. And they, as Julie knows, who worked in the congressional campaign, if they don't think you got a chance, they don't give you the funds, do they?
Well, it's an earning process. There's about a 4-step process to get to the top young gun status. And we were diligent enough to be able to achieve that, and I appreciate the honor.
What made you decide at this stage in your life and your career to become a young gun?
Well, it goes back to my upbringing, and I really believe that the American dream and the land of opportunity is being diminished by Washington, D.C. and the government practices and policies and mandates. And I fear for my kids and my grandkids and your grandkids going forward that they would have the same opportunities that we did growing up.
Now, your younger brother, Pete, ran for the Senate seat against Ken Salazar. Has he been giving you any advice? Or?
Well, first of all, he told me I was crazy.
And you're like, thank you.
Okay, so then what am I in for? So we talked early on in my campaign, and he's been very supportive.
And that's great. That's great. Well, what positions do you have that would be surprise people as a Republican candidate that doesn't kind of reflect Republican orthodoxy?
If any, yeah.
If any.
All right, I misunderstood the question.
Okay.
What position would surprise people that is somewhat different from what a Republican would normally stand for? Do you have one that's not Republican orthodoxy?
Well, I'm kind of my own person. I'm used to being a chief executive officer who sits around the table and gets things done that way. I did not sign the Grover Norquist.
I read that. Yeah, that is a little. That's kind of a stand-up position, I guess.
I just didn't want to draw a line in the sand before I get back there and find out what's going on.
Right.
What about, as we were saying earlier, Congress, the polling and people's opinion of Congress is really low. I guess if you were elected, what kinds of things would you do? Or do you want people to know what you would at least be trying to do that might start to turn some of that around?
Well, I believe the Congress gets such low marks is because there's no interaction going on between the two parties. They're deadlocked on ideological lines, and so nothing's going on. You got Harry Reid in the Senate who won't allow anything to be voted on and won't approve a budget for the last 3.5 years, and then of course you got the Republicans on the other side. So I just hope that I can go back there and my main goal would be to concentrate on jobs, the economy, and deficit spending, wasteful deficit spending by the government.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think, there's an impasse because you have one group who does not believe in bigger government and thinks the deficit is what's dragging us down. You have another group who does believe in government and isn't terribly worried about the deficit. And so you're going to get a work together in what? You can work together in making the government bigger, or you can work together in making the government smaller. But those are two at least honest ideological differences.
Well, I think from my CEO standpoint, we want to make things more efficient. And we've got to... only 1 out of 5 Congress people back in Washington, D.C. has any private sector job experience.
That's amazing.
So it's no wonder that things are being viewed from political inputs as opposed to solution-oriented outputs.
Well, tell us about this poll that we've all been reading about, an internal poll that puts you up 9 points, which is pretty amazing if accurate, although people say that you didn't publish the tabs, which tell you how many Republicans or how many Democrats or how many independents were polled. But a lot of people, Ryan Fraser, the kind of ran against Ed Perlmutter last time, also put a poll out just before he lost by 11 points. So, but that's a pretty amazing poll.
Yes, sir. I'll give you the breakdown of the people that were polled. 39% of them were Democrats, 37% were Republicans, unaffiliateds were 24%, and so we think it's a pretty good cross-section of objectivity, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, as I remember, the registration advantage in the 7th District is 34% Democrat, 32% Republican, the rest independent. So that you do have that 2% difference that would be consistent with the registration polls. Those are amazing.
What do you think those, I mean, you know, as a candidate, you have to look at that and say, okay, what are people saying here? I mean, what do you think that poll is reflective of?
Well, I don't have access to all the reasons people give but I can tell you, in walking around and talking with people, they're really just tired of Mr. Perlmutter's coming back here, appearing to be a moderate, and then going back to Washington, D.C. and voting 98% Pelosi. So seeing a lot of crossover.
Now, are you guys going to have any debates set up?
Yes, we're working on a schedule, and there'll be a couple of forums and a couple of debates.
How significant is it, do you think, the redistricting? I mean, I'm assuming that played a factor in your decision to run, but how does that kind of play in?
Well, I think the redistricting was a very good thing to do because it really consolidated population densities. If I benefited, or if Colorado District 7 benefited, is putting Aurora back where it really belongs. It's in Mike Kaufman's district, and making Jefferson County and Adams County more concentrated for CD7.
Yeah, I mean, the old figures were 38% Democratic and 30% Republican. So, and those registrations are critical in any race. I mean, you know, you can be the world's greatest candidate in District 1, Diane Dayette's going to win, and Doug Loughborn is going to win. But yours is really an incredibly competitive race. How's the fundraising going? I know you've got a few bucks on your own to put in, but how's the fundraising going?
We're very pleased with the fundraising effort. Just launched the Joe Coors 2012 Club, which has gotten some very nice grassroots support. We have more donors, individual donors, than my competition does, and so we're very pleased with that outreach.
And in the time that you've kind of now run, what has surprised you? What is kind of what you didn't expect?
Is it turning out that you are indeed crazy, as your brother suggested, or are you not so crazy after all?
Well, I'm having fun at this, and it's energizing, and getting around and getting to meet people, doing the block walking, and today is what we call our super Saturday day, which is going to be a great day to get our campaign and volunteers all organized, and doing lots of block walking and phone bank calls through the district. So I'm having a good time and really learning a lot, drinking from the fire hose, if you will.
Well, let me ask you, because these are, I think, what we want to do, and if Mr. Perlmutter comes on, we extend the same courtesy to him. We just want to keep these kind of neutral interviews just to provide people information about candidates. So sort of, you know, we have to wrap it up here in about 30 seconds. Just anything else you would want to say or add?
Yes, I would just say that this is an incredible – Colorado is an incredible state. It could be the difference between winning and losing a presidency with a 9 electoral votes. I just encourage everybody to get out and vote, and certainly I would appreciate their earning their vote for me. Anything you want to know about me, you can find on www.joecoors.com.
All right, sir.
Joe, thanks very much for coming on and joining us.
Yep, good luck to you. Right now, though, we have to take a break for the traffic, and here you go.